You're listening to the Punk News Podcast, and yet again, the freestyle era continues, and we've got a returning champion, Sammy B. You're back!
What's happening? Yeah, I'm alive. I'm here. Woo. Freestyle? Damn, that sounds fancy.
What Sam, what freestyle era means is John is very busy, so he doesn't have time to mix episodes. So we don't even mix them. We just throw them right up, and that's that. So,
well, I would have to say that seems on brand with Punk News and how we do things here, because guess what? We just do stuff, and you guys complain, and we don't care.
Well, actually, you know, I just recorded a special episode with Ricky where we talked about Record Store Day. And frankly, the comments section, knock on wood, the comments section hasn't been as bad lately over the past, say, 6 months or so. It has been. I mean, it comes in waves. But the comment section hasn't been that bad lately, frankly.
Well, that's a good thing, I guess. It's either they love us still or they hate us and just don't have the energy to complain about us. Either way, thanks, guys.
Well, two thumbs up.
There you have it. And I see a Vivian Girls test press is for. Oh, never mind. I take that back. I was going to say a Vivian Girls test press is for sale for $75. And I spent like $150 on mine. No, actually, I bought $100. However, it is the reissue test press, not the original test press, which I have. So I don't mind. I don't mind, Sam, that it's cheaper than what I paid because it's the reissue, not the original.
Well, you know, you have standards, and that's what you're paying for.
Sam, I spent $116.04 on my test press. That's a weird number, isn't it?
That is an extremely weird number. You couldn't even round the 4 cents to 5 cents?
No, what it was is the record store was having like a sale or something. So like everything was like cut like 20% or something. So I said, fine, I'm finally going to buy the Vivian Girls test press. And I did. And there you go. And here, I'm sure that's very interesting to the listeners. And more, what's going on?
Yeah. Okay. There is Canadian news, folks. Okay.
Oh, Canadian news.
Canadian news. Well, okay, like localish news to me. So last week, a kangaroo escaped from a transport. So this guy was moving two kangaroos in a truck from somewhere to Quebec, and he stopped at the Oshawa Zoo and he let them out to stretch their legs. One ran away. So it, like, people were seeing it was hopping along roadways, like all this kind of stuff. The owner of the Oshawa Zoo was like chasing it with a 6-foot net. It like evaded capture for I think three or four days. And they had to get the cops in. The kangaroo punched a cop in the face.
Wait, this is the punkest kangaroo ever. And I have not been to Australia yet. I'm sure there's really punk ones there. But yes, cool.
This is like, yeah, they have to be related somehow, because like, oh my gosh. Yeah, this one was like, nope, it didn't go down without a fight. And then they showed it in the back of the cop car and it just like looked at these people like, nope, just wait till I get out again.
Wait, hold on. Does so this funny. Kangaroo have a mugshot?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. I'm going to check. I hope so.
That would be amazing. Because it did assault someone.
Yeah, what if they're charging him?
Exactly. I'm just saying.
Ooh. They released the body cam footage, though. That was exciting. That was my excitement for the past couple days.
I would have to say that is a very, very exciting. Like, I would love if a kangaroo escaped in New York City and punched a couple of cops.
Yes.
or took the subway here. You know, the subway here, we have a whole zoo down here. It's the rats and all.
The kangaroo would fit right in.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's just the best. Just, nope. You think you're gonna wrangle me? Bop. And you know, just, oh, it's great. The video doesn't capture the moment of the punch, which sucks, but
boo. Come on.
This is what we people want.
Like, put the X-rated stuff on YouTube.
Yes. Well, let the kangaroo out so it can do it again.
Well, I'm not sure if that's gonna happen. I hope the kangaroo's sure. Okay. I hope it could be freed soon. To probably wherever it needs to go. Not sure where this kangaroo is heading. I would have to say free the kangaroo. Mm-hmm.
I am on board with free the kangaroo.
Yeah.
I think it's in like an animal sanctuary. It's an animal sanctuary or a zoo, but like, you know, send her back to Australia.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know.
We'll see.
Yeah. John, do you like kangaroos?
I'm very pro. Kangaroos are cool. Although I think they're actually not particularly friendly animals. Like, some animals are, like people think they're cute. I mean, people think they're friendly because they're cute, but they actually, like, hate humans. Like, hippos hate humans, and hippos will try to kill humans. And, like, obviously, hippos only eat, I mean, yeah, hippos only eat, like, grass or vegetables or whatever. But they'll try to kill humans, not because they want to eat them, just because they hate them so much. Like, they'll try to trample them. Or like camels, even though they're domesticated, camels hate humans and spit at them all the time, and it's hilarious. And Sam, have you ever actually been near a real life camel?
Yes, I think I was too young, and I rode a camel at the zoo. I don't think that was a delightful experience, because I'm pretty sure there is lovely photos of me as a child crying and screaming from this camel ride.
Well, the reason I ask is because we'll get to punk stuff shortly, but camels are so much bigger than people think. People think they're the size of horses. Yeah. Camels are so much bigger than horses. They're these massive, massive animals. And when you see one and get on one, you're like, oh my God, this thing is not elephant size, but pretty. Camels are pretty freaking huge.
Yeah, they're a very large beings, and I don't think we should be riding them at zoos.
Why not?
I'm not sure why they have. I'm not. I think they should not be used in, I guess, the entertainment of parents torturing their children.
Wait, so you feel bad for the camel, or you feel bad for the children?
I feel bad for me and the camel.
Yeah, well, I mean, in a way, you're right. But I mean, camels are which were pack animals or whatever, and that like they're uniquely built to. I mean, camels are like three people could ride a camel. That's like nothing to a camel. You know, like camels are extremely strong.
Well, if I was trapped in a desert, like let's say Egypt or something like that, and there was a camel, and then I would ride it, because I probably don't want to be walking around in a whole bunch of sand all day, because I hate
fair,
the beach.
Fair.
But if you're talking about the Bronx Zoo, the Bronx, New York, I'm pretty sure we don't need to be walking around with a camel underneath us in a circle for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's true. Sam, you bring up a couple interesting things, and then we will get on the punk. Camels are really, really interesting in that they can survive in the desert, and they do live in the desert, but they also live in like the Himalayas and like snow covered places. They're like the most invincible animal. They can live anywhere. And if you ever seen a camel run, it's hilarious, because it's like they're not quite finished. Like when a horse runs, it's like gallop, 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 you know, but when a camel runs, it's like cluck cluck clump, cluck cluck clump. It's like there's like something missing there, and it's not quite finished. One last thing about camels, Sam and M, are you ready to have your mind blown? Did you know that camels aren't native to Egypt? What do you think of that?
Oh, where are they from then?
They're from like the Middle East, like Israel and Iran and those kinds of places. Ooh. They actually were brought into Egypt during the Middle or Late Kingdom of Egypt. So King Tut had never seen a camel in his life. What do you think of that?
That checks out. There is no hieroglyphics of camels.
True. Good point.
Well, there you have it. And one last thing about camels.
John loves camels.
I do like camels, even though they hate people. Evan, Sam, do you know what the ancient Egyptian word for camel is?
The one with humps.
The humpy one.
It's Gamal.
Yes.
Gamal, which is essentially camel. So when you say the word camel, you're speaking ancient Egyptian. What do you think of that? Sam, when you say the word camel, you're using a 5,000-year-old word. What do you think of that?
That is amazing because I can't even speak Chinese. Well, at least.
technically, Chinese is also a hieroglyphic language. Hieroglyphic doesn't mean what most people think it means. Hieroglyphic does not mean Egyptian. Hieroglyphic means language represented by pictures.
Yes.
And so the Egyptian language is hieroglyphics. Chinese, I think ancient Chinese is hieroglyphics, and Aztec is hieroglyphics as well. Anyway, that's what I spent $12,000 a year to learn at Penn State. And let's talk about stuff that's important. Nice. Punk rock. And speaking of things of the past, sadly, the Screaming Females are no more. Kind of out of the blue, they announced... I'll just read the whole spiel. After 18 years, we have decided that Screaming Females is coming to an end. A lot of change around us over these 18 years. But at our core, we operated pretty much the same throughout. We funded and made the records we wanted to make. We did our own art. We printed a lot of our own merch. We managed ourselves. Probably most importantly, we loaded up the van with our gear and traveled around the world to play shows whenever you would have us. We tried to build and celebrate community the best we could. There are too many people to thank and too many things that should be said right now, but we have some leftover merch that we would like to get out of Mike's basement. Order something for you, your friends, your family, or your pets. And it is the end of Screaming Females, which was shocking to me. Because they more or less just put out a brand new album called Desire Pathway, which is excellent. I just saw them live like 2 months ago. They're one of the greatest bands of all time. I love them. They were fantastic. Some bands were like Slayer. We're going to talk about Slayer a little later on. For the past 25 years before breaking up, Slayer's like, this might be the last tour. we're tired of being Slayer. You know, and then they're like, okay, Slayer, just break up. You know, come on, just do it. You know. Meanwhile, Screaming Females, it was totally out of the blue. And people are shocked and saddened. And I'm shocked and saddened. And I'm sad that it's the end of the band. I'm sure that the members will make awesome and interesting art in the future. And I'm looking forward to that. But that being said, I am sad that one of my favorite bands is no more. And more. Were you shocked and saddened? Or were you happy? Or were you happy and delighted?
Yeah, I was celebrating. I threw a party. And, the house was packed. No, I was really surprised. I was like scrolling on social media and I saw it on Instagram, like the post, and it has the years, and I thought, oh, they're releasing a compilation album. And then I read the caption, I'm like, oh shit.
talk about a whiplash, you know. Oh wow, oh no.
Yeah,
I got him.
So it was it was a shock. I was like, wait. So yeah, I got that written up kind of as soon as I could for punk news and stuff, because I was like, what the hell, like, this is, you know, oh my god, right? And it was like really weird timing too, because I was working on the Desire Pathway blurb for like my year end list. So it's just like, yeah, I like this. And, you know, reminiscing about seeing them at Pooza and, you know, all this stuff like earlier this year. And then it was like, ha, we're done. And it was like, okay, cool.
At least surprise. You saw them.
Yeah, that's the thing. It was like, I've wanted to see them for a while, and I'm really glad I did get to see them. And that makes, like, you know, that performance shine brighter, I guess, right? Because it's the only time that I did see them. And again, yeah, so glad I got to see them. And they're absolutely just... yeah, they're great. Sam, what are your Screaming Female thoughts?
I am bummed. I originally saw Screaming Females. Okay, I've seen the Screaming Females like quite a bit of times. Mostly with Ted Leo. They pair well together. But the last time I saw them was this summer, actually, with the Bouncing Souls. And, you know, this was shocking. Like, you know, they just put out this album. I'm like, what the heck just happened? It just seems like they were going to do this forever and ever and ever, because
right.
They look so, like, they like they're all tethered to their guitars and instruments on stage, but you know, you just like feel it whenever you see them, like just the energy. And you know, Marissa is just freaking great. Like she just like they just rip it like on the guitar. And yeah, this kind of sucks. Especially since like, you know, they are from Jersey and I live in New York, so I do get to see them more often than like, you know, UM. But they have been around for a while, and you know, I just hope that the next iteration of whatever these people wants to do in the future is gonna be great. You know, I know it's gonna be great, whatever it is. So we'll just wait and see.
Sam, I think you actually perfectly encapsulate in that, like you said, I thought they were going to be around forever. I think everybody did. That wasn't a like because they've been around for, even though they're only like 35, they've been around for 18 years, which is hilarious, you know. You're like, of course there's always going to be screaming females, you know. Everyone loves them, they're awesome, and they put out great records, and you know they've got a significant fan base. They're not like massive famous, but they've got a fan base where they can, you know, well, I don't want to speak for them, but presumably make an okay living off being in a band, you know. And so of course they're going to be around forever, and they're all nice people, and they all seem to get along. And then you wake up one morning and it's like, that's it. You're like, wow. You know, so wow. I don't know if there's a more you could take from it. It's sad. And I guess see bands that you want to see when you get the chance to see them. What else can I say? You know?
Yeah, I think that's the thing, right? It's like, let's just see as many things as we can see while we can, especially like I think we learned a couple lessons during the pandemic going stir crazy in your house. So, you know. Just cherish these memories.
But that actually, Sam, you bring up an interesting thing though, as you say, see everything you can see. But I mean, really, you can't see everything you want to see because A, you'll go broke. There's only so many hours in a day. And I don't know if seeing a show every night per se is the best use of your time. You definitely should go see live music because it's fun and awesome and stimulates your own creativity. But I mean, not so much now. Well, I mean, I don't go to as many shows I went to pre-pandemic just because, as I said many times, my favorite venue. Well, actually, not my favorite, but one of my favorite venues closed up, so it's not as, you know, close for me. But in that, like at that venue, Cousin Danny's, there was literally there people 5 to 7 nights a week, and it's like, well, are you is that really a virtue? Because, like, are you going from supporting the arts to just being a consumer and not, you know, doing interesting things on your own? So, Sam, you bring up an interesting thing is. Where do you draw the line between seeing what you can see when you get the chance to see it and also not blowing all your money and using your time in other fashions as well? How do you draw that line, Sam?
Well, I would have to say, if you asked me in my 20s, there was times where me and my husband was out, let's just say, 5 days out of the week going to shows. And yes, I would have to say the ticket prices of these shows may be way less than they are now.
True.
Inflation is killing us. But you know, even now after the pandemic, like what we've kind of our mindset right now, you know, we're in our 30s now. Like is the fact that like a lot of these bands may not be around anymore, so we're gonna go and see who we need to see when we can see them. So yes, we do have boundaries. We do say like, you know, if it's a weekday and we can't swing it, then we can't swing it, or if the ticket prices are too much, then we can't. But I would have to say, like, you know, I this year in particular, I've been set spending a little bit more money on shows for like, you know, bigger ticket items like The Cure or like, you know, Blink-182, or I actually have Madonna tickets next week.
Nice.
Yeah, because, you know, I don't know if these humans are going to be around any longer or if they're going to be playing at the same, you know, I guess intensity as they would. Plus, this is also me being broke and poor as a young person and not able to see these people. So it's kind of like one of those, I'm doing this once, I'm spending the money once, I don't need to do this again. When it comes to the punk bands, you know, yes, I'm still picking and choosing who I see. But, you know, I do put precedence over them versus, like, you know, the bigger ticket people. Only because I have this weird thing about always giving back to the music scene, especially the music scene here around New York. Only because, you know, this is kind of my life now. I guess that's the three of us. We kind of have something like that in common. But yeah. Yeah, you know, be adults. Don't spend all your money on things. At least pay rent and bills. And then whatever extra income you have, figure it out.
Well, Sam, actually bring up two interesting things. is A, 22 to 28, that really is a great time and an awesome time to just go hit up like every show. Isn't it? I mean, it really is, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I would have to say growing up in New York, you know, and growing up at the age that I grew up here, I had CMJ. CMJ brought like so many bands and shows that, like, you know, happen. On top of that, like, because I'm on the East Coast, I also get that influx before and after Fest of a whole bunch of festy like bands coming up and down the coast. So my location is very, very nice for just being exhausted in the fall.
And then Sam also brings up another thing. I'm throwing this to M, and that like Sam is saying, see the, you know, the getting older bands while you can. The Damned, of course, are now reunited. So now it's a kind of a combination of the first formation and the third formation. Dave Anion, Captain Sensible, Rat Scabies, original drummer, back on drums, Paul Gray of Black Album on guitar, and Monty Oxymoron, who was a new guy, and by new I mean like 90s to 2000s on keyboard. So it's almost the original version of the band, except for without Brian James, but with Paul Gray, which is the Black Album lineup, and I think Strawberries as well. Two great albums with Monty Oxymoron. They're touring Australia 5 days next year, but they actually described the show like in a real weird fashion. So like, this is our last Australian tour, which is like, well, how do you know that unless you're planning on breaking up? You know what I mean? It's like, look, like, do they just hate Australia? Then I'm like, fine, we'll go one more time, but that's it. Or are we near the end of the Damned? And more, what do you think of Rat Scabies back in the band? And what do you think of the peculiar, and no one else picked up on this except for me, because, you know, I'm all seeing and all wise and more perceptive than everyone else. Why do you think they're describing the tour as their last Australian tour? Like, do you think we're going to get a last USA tour next year or something? Like, what's up with last Australian tour? That's so odd. You know what I mean? Like, how do you know is the question. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like,
I really like the idea of, like, they just have something, like, against Australia.
That's a good one.
That would be so funny. Just like, we're going to keep doing this, just not here anymore.
Australia.
I don't know. Like, they are getting up there, but, like, they do seem like, from everything, all the, like, live videos I've seen of them recently and stuff, like, they're very on it. Like, they sound great. They're doing all sorts of, like, cool stuff. I do think we'll probably see, like, you know, final US tour, probably final North American tour. They'll probably hit up, like, I don't know, BC or Toronto, Vancouver or Toronto, because those are the only two places bands seem to go. But that is fine. Maybe they'll do, like, a last European leg of things and wrap stuff up. In the UK, it might be a situation where they're like one last, like, kind of full tour, and then they'll just kind of be doing festival appearances or, you know, the odd show every once in a while and just kind of chilling out a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case. I'm glad Rat Scabies is back in the band. Have either of you ever read Rat Scabies and I think it's A Search for the Holy Grail?
No.
John, have you read it?
Have I read, I'm sorry, have I read what?
Rat Scabies and the Search for the Holy Grail?
No, is that like his autobiography or something?
No, it is this absolutely like wild book I found in the library one day. I don't remember the name of the author, but the person who wrote it was like a huge damned fan, got in contact with Rad Scabies, and then took him on a search to try to find the Holy Grail. So we're going to like rend the chateau and all this kind of stuff. And like they really went and did this. And it is great. And I haven't been able to find the book since. But if you find it, read it because it is amazing. It is craziness. They didn't find the Holy Grail. Just a
Aw, you
spoiler.
spoiled it.
I
That's
would
funny.
recommend it. It also has the best. Yeah, it's billed as the Da Vinci Code gets a punk rock treatment, so they deal with a lot of like conspiracy theories and stuff around the Holy Grail too. Oh, it's awesome.
I mean, do they reference that he was in the Damned, or is it, or if you don't know about the Damned, it's just some guy?
They do reference the dam, yeah.
Interesting. Well,
Yeah.
I will check that out. That sounds pretty interesting. Sammy P, what do you think of them saying it's their last Australian tour, but making no reference to any other tour or the end of the Damned?
So it's plausible that they don't want to go back to Australia only because maybe they hate flying out there because it is far. Sometimes when you're getting older or up there in age, flying is a difficult thing. So I could totally see that as a plausible thing. Like, we're not coming back unless you buy us, first class tickets and I get to sleep and, everything is comped and, all that stuff. Oh no. Yeah, it is kind of weird saying it like that. Or it could also be a tactic to get everyone in Australia to show up to a show. Oh, this is the last time, but we lied. We're coming back next week, like things like that. Or yeah. I don't know. It's strange. I hate when bands say we're done. We're not coming back, and then they're like coming back. Like, kind of like a part of me, like this entire NoFX thing, right? I really like they're kind of this is a big deal for most NoFX people. Like, they're done, right? I hope they actually stay done. Because if they come back like next year, I'm gonna be like real pissed. That they're like, oh, we're done. This is the final tour. No, we lied. We're playing California all the time
Sam,
long.
do you think it's the end of NoFX?
I'm not sure. I don't know. Like, I think so. Maybe there's a lot of controversy around them in the last, couple years and I do know that some of them have babies, like, brand new kids. So I don't know if they're done or they're just taking a break for a while. I actually would not be shocked if this is a break and like, Fat Mike is working on another project in the meantime, while everyone is taking care of their own stuff. And then, let's say 5 years from now, they're like, oh, hey, we're playing this festival for no apparent reason. It's funny because, like, I actually spoke with someone recently and brought up the fact that that band Basement broke up. And because I love Basement, I saw Basement, like, a couple of times before they broke up, and then after they broke up, like they came back, like all of the kids were swarming this band, and like tickets sold out so quick and all this stuff. And I'm just like, what is up with this? You break up and then you get big, like bigger than you were when before you break up, and it's only been a couple of years. Like, yeah. I hope they're not employing that tactic. I hope they're
That was
just
like Bane. Like Bane broke
yeah.
up. They're like, we're breaking up.
Oh
We're going on
yeah.
like a 4 years farewell tour, and then like a couple years later, we're back. And
Exactly.
do you think it's the end of No Effects? Like, do you think we'll see No Effects
Ooh.
after this extended goodbye tour?
Oh yeah, I think we're gonna see No Effects in some capacity. I could see them do a 100% we're just kidding or something. 100%. I think they're gonna give it maybe between 3 to 5 years on the long term, and then I think they're gonna be back. 'Cause that way, like, the kids will have like grown up a little bit, and you know, they might have missed playing together, maybe some they've worked through some resentments, and you know, they want to just kind of hang out again. But yeah, I think they're gonna we're not this isn't the last of them by any means. John, what do you
Well,
think?
great question. What do I think? I think, yes. I think NoFX will be back in 4 years, and they'll headline some big festival. That's what I think. That's what I think. Let's see. What else do
Yeah.
we have to talk about? Let's see. We've got. Oh, this is interesting. This is really interesting. So, Cruel World Fest has announced their 2024 lineup, and like weirdly, if you ask me, well, Duran, I guess not weirdly, Duran Duran is headlining, which Duran Duran is massive now, which is so odd because in the 90s and early 2000s, like Duran Duran was like a county fair band, and now they're like treated as like a serious like band on the level like New Order and Bauhaus and the Smiths or whatever. Which I'm like, isn't Duran Duran just like a cheesy 80s band? Like, what happened? Well, anyways. Duran Duran's playing, Blondie's playing, Soft Cell, Adam Ant, Interpol, Who Cares, Simple Minds. Like, Simple Minds is like near the top. Simple Minds, like, Simple Minds is a cheesy 80s band. How did that band become like respected? I don't know. However, what's most interesting to me is that Ministry is playing all of With Sympathy, the first Ministry album, which is a synth pop album completely unlike anything that came after it. And they're playing some songs from Twitch, which is also interesting because Twitch doesn't sound like With Sympathy at all. Twitch is much closer to what Ministry would become. Gary Numan is doing all of Pleasure Principle, which isn't that weird because he's done that before, but it's very cool because it's an amazing album. With Sympathy is definitely my favorite Ministry album by far. I realize that's like not a cool answer, but I love With Sympathy. The weird thing is that Al Jorgensen used to hate With Sympathy and talk about how much he hated it and how it's what the record company wanted and he didn't want to do it and he hates it and he disowns it and now he's doing all of it. Now, of course, obviously, I mean, Al Jorgensen's a cool guy, but if someone waves enough money in front of him, I'm not surprised that he would do With Sympathy, you know? So, M, do you think Al wants to do this? Do you think he's throwing him a whole bunch of money? And do you think he's going to do it like it sounds, or do you think he's going to industrialize it up?
I think he entertained the thought and agreed to it because of the money. And I don't think that the songs are going to sound anything like they do on the album. I think it's going to be like, hey, this is the band we have now, and this is how we're going to play the songs now, because I have to perform them. So I want to make sure that I like them. I think it's going to be something like that. Because I couldn't see, you know, I'm gonna accept this money and I'm gonna get up and I'm gonna play something I loathe, you know. It's I'm gonna accept the money, I'm going to return to what I don't like, I'm gonna fix it so it's something that I do like and something I am proud of going on stage with. So that's what I think is gonna happen with Ministry. This festival lineup is something else. And ooh, Blondie would be cool. Blondie would be really neat, but a lot of it just seems like who were around in the 80s and let's slap them on a bill for Nostalgia Fest kind of thing.
Yeah, this seems like every one of my metalhead, well, not metalhead, but like my aunts and uncles would want to go to it. Yeah, I do agree with you, Em. I do think that they're going to just up to make it sound like what
Yeah.
they want to sound right now. Like, you know, if I was going to this, I would go there with no thoughts about and no expectations of what I'm gonna hear from them, because if they hated this album before and you know they were asked to do it, or maybe they chose to do it, I would assume that they would choose to do it their own way now, since you know this album came out in 1983. You know, so don't have high expectations, people listening to Punk News Podcast that may be going to Cruel World Fest. Please don't. And just have fun. Yeah,
Yeah.
I don't see them doing it exactly like the album.
So Sam, you think I should not fly out to see Ministry do all of With Sympathy, my favorite Ministry album?
I think you should, but I think you should go expecting that it's going to be special.
Sam, how many copies do you think I have of the Ministry With Sympathy album?
Oh my God. Five?
Yes, correct.
Oh,
I've got the USA LP and the UK LP, which are different, slightly different.
yes.
I've got the USA CD and the UK CD, which are different. And I've got another weird bootleg version that's got kind of like the two mixed together. So you are correct, Sam. I do love that album.
I think I've known you for too long.
Here's something else that's interesting. So Sonic Temple Fest is, oh, did we talk about Spotify? Yeah, let's talk about Spotify. Spotify is changing its royalty rules for 2024. The new royalty rules are as follows. There's three main changes for Spotify's royalty rules. One, if a track gets less than 1,000 plays per year, they will not get any money whatsoever. And instead, that money hypothetically will be redirected to tracks that get more than 1,000 plays per year. Two-thirds of the music on Spotify gets less than 1,000 plays per year. The second thing is labels and distributors found to having roughly 90%, 90%, if 90% of their streams is it, I'm sorry, yeah, okay. If 90% of their streams are fraudulent, that is, it's not a person clicking play, but a machine generating plays simply for the fake, simply for the purpose of making money, they'll get fined $90 for any track. And C, non-music noise, no, I'm sorry, non-music tracks, podcasts and so forth, must be at least 2 minutes long to get royalties. And in that case, they only get one-fifth of the royalty playlist, which is bad for a lot of podcasts, really. And so I've got some strong thoughts on this. Sam, I don't know if you wanted me to kick off my strong thoughts or if you've got thoughts on this.
I have strong thoughts over royalties in general, but please kick it off, John. I want to
Well,
know.
I can't stand Spotify. I think Spotify is totally lame, and I'm astounded that their business model is, what if we just didn't pay anybody but played their music anyway? And somehow everyone bought into that, which astounded me. So I can't stand Spotify. And when this first got announced, everyone's like, you know, Spotify are a bunch of bastards. They're demonetizing two-thirds of the people that are getting paid. It's just Taylor Swift is getting paid and no one else, and Spotify are a bunch of jerks. Well, Spotify are a bunch of jerks, but I gotta say, unless there's something I'm missing here, or unless Spotify isn't being honest, I actually kind of agree with all these. Well, I agree with all these rules, particularly the if you get less than 1,000 plays per year, then you don't get paid at all, because the vast majority of the music on Spotify is done through an online distributor, such as CD Baby, through The Orchard, or a bigger one. And all distributors, like if you're only pulling in X amount of dollars per year, then they hold on to it and they don't even pay it out. Like if you're making less than like $10 a year, they don't even pay it out, or $25 a year. And so I actually don't mind Spotify not paying those guys because they're just kind of holding on to the money, just sitting there not going anywhere. So I think instead of someone literally getting a check for 14 cents, I'd much rather the admin costs of that be saved and paid out hypothetically to people that are actually getting some money, be it, you know, $30 a year or $100 a year, as opposed to 47 cents, you know? And so I got to say, I really can't argue with the, we're not going to send out checks for 4 cents anymore. I think that's a good idea. With the fraudulent stream thing, at first I was like, you know, Spotify, those bastards. I'm glad that people fraudulently stream stuff and get free money. But then I'm like, oh, wait, no, I totally forgot that the vast majority of fraudulent streams are Russia, India, and China. And they're just these giant factories of computers. And I'm not even kidding. That just stream Spotify. It's like, why? I don't want some scam company in Russia getting free money. So I actually I agree with that policy as well. And the other one, the last one I don't agree with. Like, why shouldn't podcasts and noise tracks get paid like music tracks? As opposed to 1/5, I think that's lame. But that being said, overall, I think the royalty structure itself that Spotify pays out is pathetic, and I think people shouldn't use it. I don't use Spotify. But that being said, overall, I really can't disagree with their changes here, to tell you the truth. What do you think, Sam?
So I use Spotify all the time. I actually really, really like them for their playlists, because their playlists, algorithm, whatever the heck that is better than Apple Music, I would have to say. I don't like what is happening, because I do remember eons ago, years ago, that certain of the punk bands that we cover on Punk News was literally getting a check for like $4, like, you know, every now and then, or like, you know, yeah, 17 sets, you know. I do think that the like punk bands needs to get paid, or the bands I listen to at least needs to get paid for streams. I do understand them using platforms like Spotify, like streaming services like Spotify, to get their music out there. I get that, but I don't like that they're not getting what they deserve. The entire, you know, weird service of like the fraudulent streams, that should not be happening. That's just literally just creating false narratives of certain bands or certain people get like being popular, right? Maybe that probably doesn't even deal with punk people really, but but yeah. I also do think that we're living in a world where bands don't necessarily need Spotify if they don't want it. I think if people start pulling things from Spotify, because I do think that you have to pay to get your stuff onto Spotify. You could correct me if I'm wrong, John. So, you know, bands could just be like, no, I'm not paying this crap. And then like using different services like Bandcamp or something like that, you know, where maybe they'll get compensated more or better. I don't know. This just seems like real dumb, at least in my eyes, because I'm like, these people are creating art that we love, and they're never going to ever be compensated for it. Yeah. What do you think?
I don't like Spotify's business model at all. And Sam, completely agree with you. I think, again, like, this is stuff that soundtracks our lives. This is stuff that isn't like inconsequential, you know, like these people deserve to be able to make a living and, you know, like off of their art. And like you said, deserve to be compensated for the work and the hours and hours of time that they've put into it and everything. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous. It's so like incredibly frustrating, because Spotify is one of those things where it's okay, it's convenient. And like I use Spotify as well. I just have a free plan. I don't use it very often. It's just kind of if I'm out, I can't carry a bunch of stuff. I need, you know, something that has music on it. I use that. But my goal is any band that I'm streaming that's like a newer band or anything, it's I am saving up to buy their physical media. Like I'm saving up to buy a CD, or I'm saving up to buy a cassette, or I'm saving up to, you know, buy whatever that way. I'm saving up to buy it on Bandcamp and like stuff like that, because owning your media, whether it's physical or digital, like that helps the artist out so much. That helps you out so much, because then you can actually sit with it more and you can have it with you at all times. You don't have to worry about it being like taken away because Spotify has, I don't know, deemed you unworthy to use its platform or whatever. So there should be a much better structure for artists to get paid on streaming services. I do think we are seeing, like, again, people realizing the value of art, the value of music, and more people, especially, are going and buying like vinyl and are kind of doing all that kind of stuff. So I really hope we see the tide shift back into that, where it's more pathways to support the artists that you love directly, instead of thinking you're supporting the artists and your money goes to like a multi-billionaire, you know, CEO, or it goes to Taylor Swift, or like it goes to someone you don't listen to. So yeah.
Well,
Own your media.
I also think that there's still a sect of people out here. Like, we clearly are people, the three of us are clearly people that values physical copies of things. Like, you know, I have too many records and too many CDs. John has way too many records and way too many CDs. And M, you're growing a collection and it's very healthy looking. But like, you know, there is still a sect of people out there that, like, you know, only streams. They've gotten rid of all of their physical copies of things. They don't even have it in the house or whatever, or wherever they live. And then there's also the problem of not being able to transport the records in your car or traveling or any of that. So I do hope that they figure out a happy medium to this, because I don't think that, you know, just like owning, like, well, you know what? Like, I do appreciate when records come with a download code.
Yeah, for
Like,
sure.
that needs to come back.
Well, there you have it. I think we all agree that physical medium is the best. So listen, people, buy physical media. It's cool, it's fun, and it's rad. So let's see here. A couple last stories that we're going to blast through. Misfits are playing in 2024. They're playing Sonic Temple Fest, and a little birdie said 6 to 8 Misfits shows in 2024. So if you're a Misfits fan, you might be able to get to see him again. And that little birdie has a direct connection to the Misfits. Interestingly, Kerry King, Judas Priest is playing, which is awesome. Although, actually, I love Judas Priest, one of the greatest bands of all time. But the question is Judas Priest still Judas Priest? Because it's really Rob Halford, Scott Travis on drums, but Richie Faulkner, who I can't stand. Ian Hill's in the band still. So OG Ian Hill, the original guy. And I think like their producer, I forget his name. So, anyways, I don't know. I mean, I'm going to go see Judas Priest because you already have tickets. I got like not front row tickets, but like super close tickets. But that being said, you know, people get older and it gets close to the end, and sometimes you just got to say, well, it's close to the end. However, Kerry King is back with a new band after the end of Slayer. Kerry King has been quite clear that Slayer ended before he wanted to end, and it's probably quite clear that he's mad at Tom Araya. I mean, really, if you read between the lines, it's pretty clear that Tom Araya said, I don't want to be in Slayer anymore. I just want to live in Arizona and listen to this country western, and that's what I want to do. And so that's why Slayer has ended. And so now Kerry King's got a new band. Sam, I know you're super excited for the new Kerry King project, but I'm going to ask M more first. M more. Is there any way that the new Kerry King band, and I love Slayer, I'm a Slayer maniac, but is there any way that the new Kerry King band is going to be any good?
Oh, I think if we don't compare it to Slayer, it's going to be decent. I think the minute we start comparing it to Slayer, it's never going to live up to our expectations. I
Who
think
could be?
because, like, with the two offshoots from Every Time I Die, with Many Eyes and Better Lovers, they're both good, but they are not Every Time I Die. You know,
Nope.
when you're going into thinking, I'm listening to a new Every Time I Die song, you're
Nope.
not. So, like, that's the thing. It's like really temper the expectations. There's going to be some cool riffs. That's my expectation for the Kerry King band.
Do you think he's going to get a singer everyone knows, or do you think he's going to get some guy?
I think he is going to try to find someone who sounds like Tom.
And more, I mean, I'm sorry, Sam Barrett. Is there any way the new Kerry King band can be good?
Don't care. That is my expectation about that. Like, I'm not even sure, like, why, like, why? Just let it be. Yeah, if I would have to say, if you really need to create a new band because you're unhappy about your other band not doing whatever, right? Like, it's never gonna be the same. It never is. It never will be.
That's true.
I think you should.
It never, Sam, you're totally right in that. It never is the same. Like sequel
Yeah.
bands, it never is the same, ever, you
No,
know?
like just be like, I have more songs. They were Slayer songs or whatever, but I'm gonna do it with a band and then like make it your own. Like, you know,
Yeah.
you can't recreate your old band and a new band with a new name, you know? It's like, yeah, no, I'm not, yeah, if I have zero expectations about what this is gonna be like, good or bad. I'm just not thinking about it too hard, really. But hey, if you want to come to the Sonic Temple and debut this, sure, because this festival looks crazy. Just
Yeah.
saying, like, every
Ooh.
freaking band on this is like either a throwback, like, what is this metalcore happening here? I'm not even sure how they curated this. It just looks like they threw a whole bunch of bands onto a wall and whatever stuck just stuck. Yeah.
Sam, I agree 100%. I agree 100. It's like they just let's get some bands. You know, it's very European in that, like even with Cruel World or When We Were Young or Punk Rock Bowling or Rebellion Fest, there definitely is a sense of curation in that it's like it's a particular taste or similar taste kind of tied together. Sonic Temple is heavy bands, but like. Judas Priest, all right, with Slayer, that makes sense. With Rise Against, huh? With Toxic Avenge, with
Exactly.
Clutch, you know, with Tech N9ne, and you're like, huh? With Black Veil Brides, with The Misfits, with Disturbed, with Evanescence, and you're like, huh? Like, it really just like, it's just like, here's bands that you know from the 90s, from the 90s. You know, it is a weird it's certainly a Midwest type festival. I will say is I said it's never the same except for I can think of three bands where it was the same. Sam and M, can you guess them?
Let's think, John bands. Oh boy. Is Cro-Mags one of them?
No, well, no, well, no, well, actually, yeah, actually,
Oh.
I would agree that the Harley Flanagan band sounds the same as Cro-Mags and it's the same feel, but I would say that's the same band. I mean, I agree with you, but it's the same band. You know, here's my answers: Misfits into Samhain into Danzig. It's the same. I mean, they don't sound identical, but it's like the same vibe. Also, choking victim into leftover crack. I would say they the same amount of specialness. But then you could also make the argument is like, well, yeah, Sam Hain, Danzig, and Mr. It's Danzig. It's the same guy, you know. Whereas with choking victim leftover crack, it's like, well, yeah, it's Sturgeon, Alec, Ezra, Aura, and who am I missing? Sturgeon, Alec, Ezra, Aura, and well, no, Squirt's not. Well, anyway, it's like the same guys in both. It's the same bands. So at any rate, so anyways, the Kerry King band. I think it could be good, but it won't be. I think what he should do is, I think he should. I mean, there's a lot of bands that are out of work right now that are good. You know, classic. I think he should do what Mr. Bungle did. And I'm not even a Mr. Bungle fan, but Mr. Bungle, what's his name?
Mike Patton.
Mike Patton. Like, yeah. He got Scott Ian of Anthrax, Dave Lombardo from Slayer. He's like, well, instead of just making a new band, I'm just going to get a bunch of out-of-work guys from great bands and just call it an old band. But it's, you know. So I think what Kerry King should do is just get like a bunch of great guys and put them together and just make a whipping-ass band and play all tracks from all those bands. At any rate, let's see. Let's blast through one or two stories super quick here. Sam, I'm going to let you take this Hot Water Music. They're going on a 30th anniversary tour. Are you excited?
Oh, my
quick
God. Quick Sam,
Off With Your Heads, and Tim Barry are opening. Go ahead, Sam.
I can't. Like, so this news came out the same time and the same day as the Screaming Females news. My mind was all over the place and totally blown. Okay. So Hot Water Music apparently is turning 30. Who would have known that these guys age so well like fine wine? oh my God, my like voice is turning into, you know, Sam doing commercials again. Anyways, but yeah, so next year they're touring mostly US states, one Canadian date. I love Hot Water Music. I love Chuck Reagan too much, maybe. Something about his crooning, something about his yeah yeahs and his woes does it for me. I also saw Quicksand recently, and I would have to say Quicksand is my favorite Walter Streifeld project of all of the projects that he's done. And Off With Their Heads is doing one leg, and Tim Barry is doing one leg. The cool thing about what I'm dealing with is the Brooklyn date, because I live in Brooklyn, does have Modern Life is War and the Erks, and maybe one more to be announced. So Modern Life of War, they don't play often. Not sure what their deal is, but they're playing. And the Erks, also, they don't play often. So it shall be fun. I already have my tickets. I brought my tickets on presale because my brain works in magical ways and said I must have this. And I received it. Find me near the pit, probably crying and screaming and singing with all my best friends somewhere in Brooklyn. I'm not even sure what's up with this venue because the venue in Brooklyn is new, Brooklyn Paramount, but I'll be there. Yeah. If you guys can't tell, I'm really excited. So excited. It made my week. Just saying.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
So, guys, do you think I'm excited?
I think you broke the scale.
Yeah, yeah. I think we collectively broke the scale, and I think this is the news that OrgCore or PunkNews.org, the OrgCore fans needed. So thank you, Hot Water Music, for making my dreams come true this week. I shall retire to my bed after this conversation, very, very happy. And probably until I'll be happy until I see you in May. Yeah. John, take it away.
last thing for me, Ween is going to be doing all of their album Chocolate and Cheese live in Philadelphia. It's going to be cool, and they're going to do other tracks. And I was thinking of getting front row tickets for $150, but then I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to get long tickets for $30. I don't need front row tickets for everything, considering I just got Rolling Stones tickets. So no, it's going to be cool and fun and rad. And Ween, yeah.
Ween.
I don't know. That's what I got. And more, anything you want to comment on Ween or Hot Water Music or anything else you want the listeners to know about?
Orchid announced reunion dates. That's exciting. They're playing Prepare the Ground. Woo! Yeah. That's exciting.
We're having exciting week this week. It seems that way.
Lot has come out. A lot has happened.
I'm not sure what's going on.
Well, here's what's going on. Is it January 5 or 6? I can't remember the date of my show. January 5 or 6, I'm going to look it up while I talk to you. Froggy is playing
Oh,
Philadelphia at a
yeah.
Funkies event, and it's going to be super cool. It's going to be their last show until last show before Brooke goes away to Japan for school. That's January 5 at Creep Records in Philadelphia. If you ask me, you should go if you like Froggy or interested because. Well, you know how young people are, and they change their minds a lot. So this might, all I'm saying is, you might want to catch Froggy while you can, as we said before. Also, March 2, 2024, Philly Vinyl Freakout next edition. Sammy B's going to be there slanging some vinyl, so it's going to be a lot of fun. And next week, we will have the True Facts and the Insaniacs. On the Punk News podcast. Say, John, who's True Facts and the Insaniacs? A somewhat obscure but very awesome first wave DC new wave punk band. And we're going to talk all about that. So they got two albums out now, but they only have one album out back in the day. So check out True Facts and the Insaniacs. And we're going to have them on next week. Sam and M, any closing words for this week's installment of the world's best podcast, which only gets one fifth of the payout that music gets. However, even though we are on Spotify, I've never gotten a payout ever. So where's that money going? That's what I want to know.
Wait, there's no payouts for us. What are you talking about?
I
We're
know,
just
I know.
like slaving away at the hovercraft office next. Well, me and M next to the water cooler. You have your own room right now. I'm
It's
not
true,
sure
it's
what you're
true.
doing in there.
Who knows? And actually, Sam, it's funny. I think it was last week, the week before, Em and I were cracking up because we talked about the one time we actually had a sponsor that Sam, you
Oh, God.
remember, where I threw them a crazy number and they were like, okay. And I was like, all right, then. And then they went bankrupt.
You should not let us make up crazy numbers for anything, and you should not be the company to say yes to the crazy numbers. Or actually, you should never, people out there in the world with a company, never email us, me, John, or M, with
Hey.
any propositions, because we're going to come up with a crazy number for you.
Don't listen to
Oh,
Sam.
yeah.
Send us money. We want to talk about your product on the Punk News podcast. Send us an offer, or we'll send you an offer if you want, and then you can accept, and you'll pay us, and we'll talk about your product. So anyways, so yeah. So give us money. We'll see you next week.